together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, when you think about your marriage, just being stuck, spinning your marriage wheels, just not getting any traction and not sure what would we do to move forward at all. Have you ever thought, I bet the biggest problem is a lack of gratitude for both of us. I bet you haven't. But we're going to talk today about why gratitude, cultivating it, expressing it, might be one of the best first places to start. Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney. And again today, I've got my wife with me as we talk through some more. What would it look like to get more traction in your marriage by recognizing, what am I focusing on? What am I looking at most? What do I have eyes to see? In a sense, it doesn't take long at all. And we all cultivate a set of glasses almost like we wear, that this is how I see my spouse. These are the lenses through which I see my spouse. And believe it or not, because we're sinners, that so quickly and easily becomes a very dark and jaded and negative lens that just ceases to see anything praiseworthy, anything good, anything that you appreciate. Vicki, what do you think? How has cultivating and thinking about gratitude or the lack thereof played a part in us getting to a better place in our marriage?
Like I said, we talked about before, these aren't necessarily even sin issues. Like, I see my spouse doing some sin. He's yelling at me, or he's, you know, embezzling money. A lot of it is just things that they're doing it differently than we would do. And if we're not careful, like you
preference.
Said. Preference. Yes. You like to keep all the cabinet doors closed. Sometimes I leave them open.
Yes. I can't imagine a better way to do it.
Gotten better at it. But, you know, just small things that all of a sudden you think, every time she leaves the door open or she leaves a paper towel out, that's another one of our issues. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if you have it out, you know, you might want to reuse it. So
we're talking about a little wadded up used paper towel. And I go around the kitchen just picking them up and tossing them in the
and
garbage.
I'm like, leave my paper towels.
Like, why
alone.
Would you leave that? It looks like a
I'm
used
going to use
Kleenex.
It again.
It's like, oh, let's get it off.
Especially
the
after COVID,
counter.
I don't like to have to dry my hands on a towel, like just on a paper towel. And then,
well, after COVID, none of us want to use someone else's used
I'm
paper towel.
I'm not wanting anyone to use my paper towel.
But it's there near my.
But anyway,
stuff.
Like we said, these aren't sin issues. But as you can see, even after what
38
years of marriage,
yeah.
We still can get our wires crossed on things. So if all he's looking at are my paper towels that I'm leaving, he can get really ticked off and aggravated. So I think part of it is just in our arrogance. I just think my way is the best. Like, if you would do it the way I would do it and throw your paper towel away, then life could be better for all of us. So I think we're so busy and we're perceiving our spouse. And once again, it's just our sinful nature. Once you start going down that path, you just start seeing all they're doing that you don't like. And pretty soon, it's all you can think about. And a lot of it's just what
snowball.
You perceive. Yeah.
The direction you choose to head
right.
And the habit you form doing it often can get you going in a direction. It's really hard to slow down. It's really hard to tap the brakes.
And sometimes I think, as I've worked with different women, and I think I even saw this on my own life, it can even be a life-dominating area that you've always done people this
yeah.
way.
It
like there
possible.
Was an example recently in our community group. I'm the icebreaker picker-outer, so I chose an icebreaker.
Call her the icebreaker queen.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but
right,
yes.
Baby, you got an icebreaker for us tonight?
Yes, I always do. It's one of my favorite things. And one of the goals of an icebreaker is to do something that makes people just feel at ease. It's not going to be anything hard, put people on the spot. That's one of the goals of an icebreaker.
And she is good at it. We're not talking about stupid icebreakers. Like no. I have the word dog on my back and I start barking,
yeah,
looking for someone else who's barking.
Those.
No.
But icebreakers really, they are, you learn a lot about people. So I looked around the room and realized, wow, we have, I think, two or three singles. None of them were there that night. So I thought, hey, I'm going to do something about marriage. So I just said, let's go around the room and everyone share two things you appreciate about your spouse. And once again, since I already know the icebreaker, I went first because I've had time to think about it. So everyone else is thinking, I shared my two areas about Brad. And then we proceeded to
and
go around the room.
It was hard for you to even stop, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
Only two?
I don't want to take up the
like
whole
your
night.
Mind was just
yes.
bubbling
yes.
up with dozens. But she only shared two.
So I thought, let's put some positive, and we're all working on marriages.
Because it often comes up in small group that people will be transparent and say, oh man, it's hard. We almost got divorced in the first 2 years. Like, people admit that marriage is hard.
There's just great value in being not only in a local church, but in a community of believers. A Sunday school class at our church, it's more community groups where you meet. You know, we've had community groups in our home for what?
Well, almost 30 years now.
30 something years. So, yeah. You know, but we do life with those 15 to 20
people.
But
even as Vicki says that, and I'm so glad you brought that up, honey, because since we're talking about Thrive, this whole show is about how to help your marriage. Vicki is actually talking about finding a community of believers, whether it's Sunday school class, small group in a home, whatever, call it discipleship.
Weekly Bible study you do with people.
But here's what she's talking about that is real.
Right.
What we run into so often is that there are so many Christians that they just keep it so safe and superficial, and it's all about the text.
Right.
And we're just talking about the text right there, and nobody opens up and is honest about their own life. So how are you doing in that area? So we're actually talking about, by God's grace, we have small groups that meet in homes where we're real with each other and admit, oh, I struggle there, or that is hard. I gotta do better with that. Would you pray for me? And some Christians haven't tasted that, and some Christians don't want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's pride. But one of the best things that could help you is to actually have others who can speak into your life, and a group of people that kind of know where you're coming from and how you're really struggling.
Yeah, I think it's super crucial.
So anyway, you were using an icebreaker.
Which I thought was pretty, low level, easy to answer this.
Seemed like easy hanging fruit.
Right. We don't want to put anyone on the spot. So then later, one of the young...
So we all went around and did it.
Right. And so later, one of the women that was in the group contacted me and said...
Privately,
and just said, wow, I was glad I was halfway around the room, because as I thought of my spouse, it literally took me from the time the icebreaker started till it got to me to think, what can I even say about my husband? Mm. What two things can I even say? And if you would have asked for a third, I would have been at a loss.
Couldn't have come up with it.
Yeah, and that was just shocking to me, because we know her husband. You know, he's outgoing, he's friendly.
He's a hard worker.
I mean, there were so many good things. You know, he's a man of integrity. He's not going to embezzle money from his... I mean, just lots to like about him. And I was really baffled. But then once again, I thought, this is how I used to view Brad. You know, it's just easy. It's easy when you perceive your spouse a certain way. It doesn't even matter. In fact, it's usually not true. But once you start going in that direction... You just, it's almost like you said before, you have glasses on that just see the negative. And it's really sad, because there's so much. And your spouse senses that. You know, that's, if you're living with them under one roof,
absolutely,
they're going to sense that.
This was no secret to him, I'm sure.
Right.
And here's the good news, is so much of what Vicki and I are talking about does not have to be solved with, quote, official counseling. You might be in a place where you could find some good official biblical counseling where you may even need to pay. But so much of what we're talking about can happen in healthy Christian relationships that are organic. Just so what Vicki did is, Vicki's not even one of our, quote, official counselors at church on our list. But does she know how to use God's word and listen well and ask questions?
And have I been through similar situations?
So she simply said to that young lady, hey, I'd love to get together with you a couple times. I think they only met like 3 or 4 times, 4 at the most, one-on-one. And she just listened well and asked questions and used scripture and helped that young lady. And I think you told me, I remember, that she said, you know what, as you were helping her, sometimes we don't see it until we're in it and someone begins to help us get out. She said, I didn't realize it. I've done this my whole life. I've done this to friends. I've done this to neighbors on the street. I've always been this way. I am not grateful. I do not see what I could be thankful for.
And is that going to affect your relationships? It really is.
And I'm sure she works in the marketplace. I bet it was affecting her work relationships as well.
When all you're seeing is negative, it's just bound to come across. And like you said, I think there's a wonderful place for biblical counseling and marriage counseling. But this is just something that, like, today, after hearing this show, you could start changing. And once again, it's not going to come easy. You may have been doing this the last year of your life, the last 28 years of your life. And once again, I know we're talking to a lot of people who are probably first generation new believers, like my husband and I, or even just maybe you and not even your spouse. I'm a new believer, and I want to start out with some new habits, some new things that are going to frame up my family in a more biblical way so that we can relate to each other in a biblical way. Well, this is a great way to start. It doesn't involve you paying a marriage counselor. It doesn't involve you getting an official counseling. Today, think, wow, what can I see about my spouse? And I think of, you know, most of us had grandmothers that like, oh, Vicky, come here. Just she looks at you longing, like she loves you. She loves, you know, look, how often have we looked at our spouse that way and just think, wow, I love you. Sometimes just the scowl on our face when they even walk in the room.
That's
like,
right.
Just work on
when's the
looking
last
at
time
them,
did they?
Not just trying to whomp up something, but like, there's good things about your spouse. I love you. Wow. I'm
just
grateful for you.
Your tone of voice, eyes, body language.
It's a great way to start.
That they actually sense, I think she loves me. I think she appreciates me.
Right.
And this can be accomplished simply by inviting, you can do it on your own, but sometimes you need help, inviting someone else to speak into your life. And say, hey, would you get together with me? I want you to ask me questions. I want help. I want help getting my myself to a new place regarding gratitude in general, but especially with my spouse. All right. This is not something that you probably thought, wow, let's start there. My marriage needs help. Let's start by thinking about gratitude. But I hope you're beginning to hear and understand, wow, this could be an absolute game changer. And it's not that hard. It might be a new habit, but this is not something that costs you a lot of money. When we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dig into some more, and I'm going to take you to God's Word to show you this is not a new problem. This is an age-old human problem, lack of gratitude.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad and Vicki in just a moment. Before we get further into this, can I say something real quick? As a guy that's been married for 20 plus years, I just want to say how much I appreciate this conversation they're having today. Really, this podcast, Thrive, is an absolute gem in my life, and I hope it is in yours as well. But the honesty, the transparency, the way Brad and Vicki are kind of pulling back the curtain on the everyday stuff that we're all dealing with, that's the stuff that matters. I mean, who would have thought a conversation about paper towels would be so relevant? But it is. I understand exactly what they're talking about, and anybody that's been married over 5 minutes should as well. Because that's the point, right? It's the small things, the quiet preferences that turn into patterns. That's what starts to chip away at the joy and gratitude that we had in our marriages. That's what I love about this show. It doesn't wait for the crisis. It helps us notice the drift early. And look, in a world that's full of marriage content focused on big blow-ups, this is the real stuff. This is real life. This is where the work and the healing is taking place. Pastor Brad, Vicki, thank you. I appreciate this. And hey, look, if conversations like this have been sharpening you in this podcast or our others here at Fortis Institute, like Integrated with Dr. John Kratz, Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, Transform with Dr. Greg Giffert, The Better Way with Libby Glosson, can I invite you to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? For 25 years, this ministry has been equipping believers with solid, trustworthy biblical resources. And speaking of the church, I want to be clear that we're not asking you to give to us instead of your local church. That's your first commitment. That's your first priority. Don't ever give to a parachurch ministry over your local church. Make sure you're giving to your local church is first and foremost. And also don't be strapped by any type of unmanaged debt and be a slave to the lender. If those two areas of your life look good and you can join us beyond that as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be eternally grateful to have you as a partner. Just go to FortisInstitute.org right now to see what it would look like in your life to join us as a gospel partner. And if you haven't done it already, download the Fortis Plus app. It is completely free, packed with biblically sound content, hundreds of hours of audio and video content. Just visit FortisPlus.org or download the app from your app store. Whichever device you have, you can download it. All right, well, now let's get back to Pastor Brad and Vicki as they continue to talk about gratitude. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, you're listening to Thrive, and we've been talking about gratitude and how this is something that might actually get your marriage moving forward more than you think. If you've been stuck and wondered, where would I begin? So we're talking about the place of gratitude in our marriage, in making it much, much more healthy. So Vicki, let's get a little more practical. What can you do to stir it up? again if it's been lost. But so often it might be, I've never had it. I've just never been a hugely grateful person. What could you do to stir this up? How would you get this going?
Something we regularly hit on here, and I just think it's invaluable, is spending time in the Word of God. It doesn't have to be 2 hours or 20 minutes, but a little time is better than no time. And as you're reading God's Word, to be able to regularly thank Jesus and think, wow, I am adopted. May not have been the best family, but Christ has adopted me.
Yeah.
His thoughts toward me are more than the sands of the sea. Just,
yeah.
You know, as you start, so I think part of it is, we need to, as we begin to thank God for things He's done, it causes us to overflow into other people's lives. And I think, you know, like, there were times when we only had one decent working car, and if you went more than 3 hours, it would break down. So, I mean, on a regular basis, I'll just often say, thank you, God, that we have two dependable cars.
Yeah.
Now, one of them does have a grill that's missing the front from snow ramming.
And one of them has plowed into a snowbank.
Yes.
But
you know, I'm just grateful. When we lived in a trailer and we were in seminary, we didn't have a dishwasher. Well, I guarantee you, I mean, I thank God regularly for a dishwasher because, you know, when all the kids come over, five kids and their spouses, that's a lot of dishes, even if you use paper plates. So just simple, thank you, God, that I have a dishwasher. Yeah. Thank you that I have five healthy children. That's still baffling to me, you know?
So get a hold of what Vicky's saying. You realize, as human beings, relational beings created in the image of God, we are constantly involved in two levels of relationship. Vertical relationship with God. You're always in a vertical relationship with God if you are a Christian, and I hope you are. And you've always got horizontal relationships with people. These two things hugely impact each other.
Right.
So Vicky is talking about, if you don't cultivate gratitude towards God, you'll never have a well from which to dip out of and express gratitude towards others. God is perfect.
Right.
He's the perfect Father. He's never let you down. If you're not in the habit of expressing gratitude to Him, what are the chances you're going to express it to your spouse or those closest to you? So this habit of gratitude can start in your time with God.
Yeah, I mean, just like we sometimes take our spouse for granted, we often take God for granted.
Goodness.
And sometimes as I'm reading the scripture, I'll just stop and repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I haven't thanked you.
And I've got a place just popped to my mind that exactly shows that we forget to express gratitude to God. Again, the Bible is so good because these are not new problems we're struggling with today. These are age-old problems. So in the Gospel of Luke, Dr. Luke records an incident where Jesus Himself was shocked by the lack of gratitude from people. Oh, He was absolutely shocked. Listen to what it says in Luke 17, because in that day, I hope you realize, leprosy was just, your life is over, game over. You are excluded, you are isolated, you are shamed. You're left outside the city. You have to go around shouting constantly, unclean, unclean, unclean. It was a miserable life. So here's what took place in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When He saw them, He said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? What a question. Oh, it's those 4 words in verse 15 that shocked Jesus. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back. Just one. Just one of them. And it's just shockingly out of place and disproportionate to what just happened. Just one of them. And that's the human heart. That's the kind of heart we bring into a marriage.
Truly is.
Because you would think, you know, oh man, if you were a leper and you've been that isolated and that shame.
I can be better with my family. I'm not going to be an outcast anymore.
You would think every single one of them would just be like, oh my goodness, let me tell you thanks. And so it shows that this is the human heart. And if you think it didn't bother Jesus, listen to again what he says in verse 17. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Like, he's grateful that the one guy's on his face shouting praises, but he's really, really concerned about and kind of focused on the 9. Where are they? Literally, the sentence structure in the Greek, I love the Greek language that the New Testament was originally written in, because it allows for emphasis in ways we don't have in English. The sentence structure in the Greek adds a punctuation point when it is worded this way. The 9. This is literally what it says in the Greek. The 9. They are where? Where? In other words, they're not where they should be. They're not thanking Jesus with him. And if you think about it, it may be you say you're a Christian, Christian wife, Christian husband. Jesus might be saying right now, where are you? Where are you? He sees you doing all kinds of maybe good things, but he doesn't see gratitude. He doesn't see gratitude. And it's very unlikely, Vicky touched on this already, but I find that it's very unlikely that you are hugely grateful to him and it just doesn't carry over to your spouse. These two things usually track with one another, the vertical and the horizontal.
And unfortunately, I think in most cases, the math is not that far off. We are the 9.
Yeah.
You know, in our everyday lives, if we're not careful, we're the 9 that don't thank our spouse, don't thank Jesus.
That's right. If you know what, the other reason I love the scriptures is I don't read it and think, look at those people. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with them? If you're honest, you'd say, those people are me. That's me. I see me in that. And here's what I also think is worth noting. We're not talking about feeling grateful. And Jesus wasn't either. We're talking about expressing gratitude. That means, yeah, it's got to start in your heart. If there's no gratitude in your heart for God or your spouse, it's never going to make it to your lips. But do you realize there's a second problem that we all deal with? We think things and feel things that we never express. And so what makes the impact in your marriage is when it gets expressed. Because the Greek word for thanks used right there and in the rest of the New Testament is a word eucharisteo that means to express or give thanks. It doesn't just mean I feel it. Now, we've already said in the last several shows, you've got to start doing some things to feel it. You're going to have to ask God, give me eyes to see. Help me to know what's praiseworthy, noteworthy, excellent, good. What could I? And then you've got to start to feel it. But if it doesn't make it to your lips and get expressed to God and your spouse, you still won't see much going on in your marriage. So Vicky, talk for a minute. You know, give me some of your thoughts about the difference between feeling thankful and expressing thanks to your spouse. And then why is this so hard? This doesn't seem like rocket science. Why is this so hard for us?
And I think we have to take it a step further back before we can feel it and express it. We have to notice it. And I think that's where most of us, I know that's where I was missing the mark. I didn't even notice anything good. And so I think things we've talked about earlier, that helps us to realize, but I think it's our pride that just says, well, yeah, he got the oil change, but he should be getting, that's his job or whatever. So no, hey, thanks for going by and doing that. I'll meet you and pick you up or whatever. Just, you have to not only just think it, first of all, you have to see it and not just think it, but actually say it verbally. Take it this further step, actually express it. And so, think once again, though, our pride gets in the way and says, well, I don't need to thank him for doing that. There's things I do that he doesn't thank me for. And then if you play that game, then, well, here we go down the downward spiral.
What do you
spiral.
Think it is? What is it inside
it's
us
definitely
that
our
almost
pride.
Like an emergency brake pulls up and says, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that.
He doesn't thank me for, you know, washing his clothes or whatever it is. So I think it's just our arrogance and our pride. And once again, it's just, that's not how Jesus is. That's not how he responds to us,
mm-hmm.
but that's how we easily respond to our spouse. I'm just going to give them a little bit and no more.
Yeah. We're talking about gratitude and the need to not just feel it, but express it. Ask God to give you eyes to see things in your marriage that you could be grateful for, and then express it. And this just might be a starting place that could get your marriage unstuck so that it could begin to thrive instead of just feel like you are barely alive.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.